has been so wild lately. He doesn't seem to listen, he doesn't obey my commands, and we can't even bribe him with treats.
He's gotten so out of hand, he may even have to be put down.
God is not the problem here. The problem is the people who want to be the leader of the pack. We reintroduce God. We retrain people. You're listening to The God Whisperers.
Listening to the world famous God Whispers. I'm Craig D'Onofrio.
We're back.
It's back.
I'm Bill.
Hey, check this out. You've never heard Christmas like this before.
that is amazing.
Yes.
That just takes things to a whole new level. Well, Craig,
so how you been?
Not now that we're off KFUO.
Off what?
There. We're off KFUO.
Who? Where? What?
Flarp.
Gotta love the flarp.
Yes. How does it feel to be a free man?
You know, what's really great about it is I can do this.
Did you hear that?
I guess there's been a lot of buildup over a couple of years. Man.
I've been holding that in for like 2 years.
Take a Tums or something. Wow.
Little Beano.
Wow.
I don't do anything now. I'm much better. Thank
you. Wow. I'd have that scoped.
You did it. Congratulations.
I'd have that looked into, Craig.
yes. Well, it was an interesting trek there at KFUO, but you know, yeah. The Lord works in magical and mysterious ways. And now I'm heading to Europe. So
you're heading to Europe. So for the moment, we're experimenting here with a Skype link up, and unlike our inaugural KFUO show, we actually invested about an hour in working out some of the details. So
yeah, but I really need to oil this chair. Check this out. This is, I mean, that's pretty gritty.
Yeah, you need some WD or some.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Inquire no more, you feral beast.
Indeed. We still have the Skype hotline that nobody uses anymore. Spells Manly Doctors 13.
So we've never erased that call.
Pre-internet, you're sitting. No,
yeah, you're sitting in it.
Is something there? But
yeah, that's definitely part of it. So you have the Skype. What is, Craig? What is the Skype hotline phone number?
Let's see if I can remember it. I believe it's 626-593-7713, which of course we all know spells Manly Doctors 13.
So to get back up to speed, and there is going to be an episode, a pre-Thanksgiving episode that I failed to release in all the changes, shall we say, that occurred over the end of November. So I'm sitting on this episode, sitting on it actually, and so that we'll be able to do that, and then we'll have this episode here. So But to keep up with all of this, godwhispers.org, and to email us, godwhispers@gmail.com. So we're back to podcast only, soon to become international podcast.
International podcast.
Now, we've been international anyway. We've spanned the globe, you know, South Africa, Amarula. That reminds me, I've got to stock up on Amarula again. I'm out.
Amarula, that's in Texas, isn't it?
No.
Amarula, Texas?
No. Don't insult our friend Henning. He'll come and tear your throat out. Henning is one scary dude.
Hey, I mean, if that's what it takes to get Henning to come visit us, I'm willing.
Oh, I'd love a Henning visit.
I'll let him punch me in the face if that's what it takes to get him over here.
I don't, that would hurt. You would be entering a world of pain if Henning punched you.
Does someone need a hug?
No, please. I insist. Don't hug me. So what are you doing? What are you doing now that you are no longer going to the glass house, the monkey house at the International Center?
Well, they've released me from the cage, so I am no longer behind glass. Which you know, in this day of terrorism and everything, I just really, really had a hard time being at a Christian denominational headquarters
without a gun
under glass.
Yeah, behind trapped glass without a gun. You couldn't bring a gun to the International Center, could you? Or could you?
Not legally.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, but the deal is this. You walk through the front doors, and there's a large, slow-moving target under glass.
Yeah.
And I believe that I was strategically placed there so that everyone else would have a chance to hear the ruckus and get out.
The see-through bullseye was really kind of the tip-off.
Yeah,
you know, that
was kind of. Well, they made me wear that shirt. They said that it was a Royal Air Force shirt from World War II, but it just looked like a target to me. So
yeah.
I don't know.
You were a target in so many ways. Well, it's good to have you. It's good to have you back, so to speak. I mean, you're not exactly across the table or the desk like back in the old days, but. Hopefully the conversation can take new and unfettered turns now that we're no longer under the heavy thumb of AM radio.
Right. We're no longer FCC controlled.
I didn't I felt self-conscious on AM radio.
Yeah.
I felt listened to. You know, doing a podcast, you know nobody's listening to this.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of sad is you know that like some 73-year-old ladies were hearing us, and I just felt bad for them.
Well,
because really,
they didn't know what they were signing on for when they tuned in.
People, you need to be careful.
And then, and then, of course, there was you know the Christian news, the bad pubs from Christian news. That's all I have to say to that.
Oh, that could go for a while.
That was a mistake.
It's like they almost harmonized.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Oh, man. That's just repulsive. So this is going to be our special Christmas. This is any way to do a Christmas show. What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, we got Christmas coming up, and of course, I'm not serving a parish right now. I may, I may be working this Christmas season a little bit to take a little bit of the pressure off the pastor where we're attending church. Because
that's kind of nice.
He's the sole pastor, and it's a fair-sized church, and he's got like 11 services in a week. So I'm like, if you need help.
We're pretty modest. You know, we're a small parish, and I've got Christmas Eve lessons and carols at 7:30, and I have Christmas Day, just divine service, 10 o'clock, Chinese and English, our bilingual service.
Oh,
we do that. Nice. We do that every year. And that's really, you know, and then normal Sunday, the way things are slotted out this year, of course, you have we have a midweek Advent service on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then we have Christmas Eve on Thursday and Christmas Day on Friday. And Sunday we do it all over again. So it's kind of cool. I like that. I like it's all packed together like that.
Well, here's what I actually did, though, is because I've been there. I know what it's like when someone walks up to you and says something right after church, like, you know, pastor, can you come visit me on Tuesday? Absolutely not. I will forget it by the time that I get to the parking lot. You need to write it down or send me an email.
Oh, yeah, I have that. Like I have that problem. It's almost instantaneously forgotten.
Right, right. So I told Pastor Mark Sell right after church, hey, if you need me, I know you're saying that you're really overloaded. If you need me to like help with the liturgy or whatever, just let me know. But I said it knowing that there was a 98.7% chance that he would have no recollection of it.
Yeah, so this was an empty gesture on your part.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I get to be magnanimous, but I realize that the chances of him remembering it are very low.
It works. It's a very workable kind of, you know, so you make a sincere offer, but you know he's not going to remember it.
Yeah, and then next week when I talked to him and he's like, oh my gosh, I slept for 3 days straight or something like that. Hey, I offered to help you, but you know, you didn't take me up on it. So
this being Christmas, I thought maybe we could, since you started off with one of your favorite Christmas carols, I could start off with one of mine. So I think no, not that. No, don't do that again.
Sorry.
Oh man. Wow. Wow. Just that is just scary.
Just wow.
What happened to my thing?
I don't know.
Oh, there. No, it's not there. Oh, nice.
I'll play Don Tiki until you find your thing.
Okay.
Whatever that thing is.
I lost my thing.
You're fine.
Oh, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. So this is probably my all-time favorite Christmas carol right here. It's not a carol. It's a hymn. King's College. Probably my favorite. We sing it every year at Holy Trinity.
It is a great one. I love it.
I think it might be a John Mason Neal translation. I discovered that I like anything translated by John Mason Neal. He was an Anglican priest who had this thing for old Latin hymns and translated a whole bunch of them. And all the good ones have his hand on it. But I first got to like this hymn when the Cantorai from the Fort Wayne Seminary came to visit our congregation during Epiphany Tide, and this was their processional. And I really, really liked it. No, I take that back. That's not true. My vicarage congregation. That's where I first learned it.
This hymn made the leap.
Is what?
I said this hymn made the leap from Advent to Christmas, didn't it?
Yeah. It was always in Christmas, but you can use it in Advent, too. Great hymn. This arrangement, this is from an album, Carols from Trinity, the choir of Trinity College, Cambridge. But they've introduced a sort of a metrical element. The one I know is more plain song chant like. You know, this has a beat to it, but it's pleasant. But you know, it follows that theme of prophecy and fulfillment, and which is good.
Yeah, and you don't hear
it at Home Depot.
No, you don't. And honestly, this is not just one of those hymns that leaves you really contemplating, you know, of the Father's love begotten and what Christmas is all about. You know, that one line in the creed that I think summarizes it all, who for us men and for our salvation. And, you know, as we consider this, and then you have the King's College Choir there, who are just amazing. I mean, it'll send chills down your spine if you put it on a good stereo and turn it up loud. It's phenomenal.
But not the podcast. Don't put that on a good stereo.
No. We are meant to be listened to, I believe.
It's like we're produced in a college dorm room.
Two monkeys on a Davenport, I believe they said about Wayne's World, and we have patterned ourselves.
I was correct. It's a John Mason Neal translation. I don't know my glasses. I can't read the fine print there. But hymn 384 in LSB, completely worthy of learning if your congregation does not know this. If you don't know this, it's a worthy investment hymn. Takes a little bit of getting used to because we're used to kind of the very bright melodies, and this is more of a plain song chant, but it's really good.
That King's College Choir CD of Lessons and Carols is phenomenal, and it begins with Once in Royal David City.
Yeah,
and that their rendition is truly fantastic. It is really, really good.
I may have that.
I have it handy here, but it starts out so low that
you have the solo voice. Our Christmas Eve Lessons and Carols always starts with "Of the Father's Love." Once in Royal David City.
Yeah.
It's not on that CD. Maybe it's on this one. Oh, here it is. Let's see how it goes.
Once in Royal David City, soon
it amazes me just how much of our beautiful hymnody comes from the Anglicans and English hymnody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, and nobody does Christmas quite the way the English do.
They're very good at it.
They really, you know, it's not just the religious side of Christmas. I don't know how, you know, religious Britain is these days, but it's embedded in the culture. To the extent that you have this real sense of Christmastide, you know, kind of epitomized with Dickens' Christmas Carol and things like that. It's not necessarily the Christian side of Christmas, but it's a really pleasant cultural side of Christmas too. Something that we're almost completely losing in our country. I love this hymn.
Very, very fine stuff there.
You don't whoa,
that's right. Guess we're gonna hear the whole album.
We are just kept going. That was the abridged version. It has some really good words here. Let's see. For he is our childhood's, for he is our childhood's pattern, day by day, like us he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness. Nice.
Hmm.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a bit concerned. You know, the culture wars that are going on in this country are probably going to completely wipe out any aspect of just Christmas in the culture. I mean, it's almost completely wiped out as it is now.
You know, it's there are holiday parties and it's happy holidays, and that's okay. I'm cool with that. I don't believe in imposing my Christmas on somebody who doesn't believe in Christ. In fact, I just ask people, what do you celebrate? And if they say winter, I say, well, happy winter, or Festivus for the rest of us, or Hanukkah, or any of that stuff. But I think it's nice if somebody, people knowing I'm Christian, say Merry Christmas to me, or, you know, Blessed Christmas or Happy Christmas. That's kind of nice, too. But you know, it's like there are things you can't have Santa Claus in the schools. You can't have a Christmas tree. It's got that has nothing to do with Christianity. Christmas tree is about as secular as it gets. It's
getting really out of control. But, you know, there's pushback right now. I think there are people who are getting fed up with all the political correct garbage and all that. And I think, you know, I'm not really much of a Donald Trump fan, but I think that this is why he's so popular is he takes no prisoners. He simply says, that's a bunch of crap. And he just leaves it there. You know, he's like, I'm not going to argue with you. You can even prove me wrong, but I still think it's a bunch of crap, you know, and that's just all there is to it. And so, you know, I think that there's finally a reaction from middle America that's basically saying enough of this already. What was that?
Randomness.
Christmas, you sit on a throne of lies.
Christmas carolers at my front door.
But yeah, and so, you know, this all plays over into the holiday stuff and all that. I don't know, Bill. Maybe I'm just getting old and cantankerous or something, but it seems like somebody hit the accelerator on the stupid pedal there, and we're just heading down the drain even faster than
well,
ever.
Well, we're heading into what Richard John Neuhaus's big nightmare. You know, and that is the naked public square. That's the public square that's completely stripped of all religious thought whatsoever. You know, neglecting the fact that the vast majority of the citizenry is religious in one aspect or another anyway. And it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if, you know, in our kind of society, the solution is not to suppress religious speech. It's just to keep it free.
Right.
As much as possible. You know, the one freedom of speech you don't have is the speech that restricts my freedom of speech. So, you know, Islam beware. You know, you're kind of free to practice whatever, but not to the exclusion of everybody else. That's them's the rules here. But do we really want a society that where everything, one of the most critical things of a person's life, one's personhood, that is your beliefs, are just bottled up? You're just not allowed to express any of that in public.
Well, there is no free exchange in the public square if you have to watch what you say all the time.
That's right.
You know, there just isn't any. And so, you know, if you can't express your faith, if it's Christianity or something else, and be heard out and even argued with and all the rest. You know, and that's one of the other problems, and we've talked about this God only knows how many times, but you know, we live in a culture that can't debate anymore. No one can disagree and still like each other.
Yeah.
It's all personal.
It's all emotional reaction. It's not any kind of reasonableness. It's not any kind of reflection. And you know, the whole point, I think, of a good discussion is to disagree. Do you really want to just sit around and talk to people who agree with everything you say all the time? That's, to me, sounds a little boring. But you got to,
sure,
you know, I had a great conversation with a guy over at one of our audio places, I was wearing my collar. And I was buying some sound stuff. Our preschool was putting on its annual preschool Christmas pageant, you know, and so I had to get some sound stuff. And I used it as kind of a lame excuse to buy a new microphone, anything to pad the equipment budget. But you know, I'm wearing a collar. We start talking. He's well read, you know, and he's curious. He doesn't have any kind of like I don't know, any preconceived bias or anything. It's just that, you know, he's Jewish and he's interested, and he's interested in Jesus as a historic figure. And so we had this great conversation. Now, did I agree with everything he said? No. Did I refute everything he had to say? No. You know, in fact, my stance is, tell me more. Tell me why you think what you think. What have you read that causes you to think that? Oh, you might want to read this, or you might want to consider that. That's the basis of a really good conversation.
Sure.
But this continual taking offense, hammering away, you know, buttoning down anything that I disagree with, that's upsetting to me. I can't hear that. I can't hear any word of disagreement. This is crazy. Go back in your bubble where you came from.
Yeah. And, you know, nowadays also you get a lot of the, well, religion's the problem. And they just try to shut you up with that.
Yeah.
Religion. It's religion. Religion's the problem.
It's a convenient duck. Religion can be a problem. And we religious people should be the first to admit that, is that religion, and you and I have said this, religious people can get on your nerves sometimes.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But I think to say just blanket that religion is the problem is you're not digging deeply enough. You're just basically saying, look, a lot of troublemakers in the world are religious, therefore religion is the problem. Well, maybe look a little bit more closely to see if there's, if you know, yes, religion is a common denominator. Are there particular religions that are more troublesome than others? Are there societies that are better off without religion? Let's look at some of the societies that basically suppressed or wiped out religion, and how did they do? You know, how did Lenin's right. How did Lenin's Soviet Union do? Yeah.
How did
Pol Pot and his gang? I mean, there's a bunch of humanitarians for you. They were wonderful people, I suppose, huh? So yeah, religion, lack of religion is a problem too.
Well, take a look at just the Russian Revolution, the USSR. That lasted what? 80 years, 75 years, something like that, and it cratered. It cratered in on itself. And, of course, there's a lot to – you can argue that the U.S. kind of – and the Western world kind of did them in by spending them into the ground with defense stuff and all that. But
that's
when
our,
there's –
that's our forte.
Right.
We do that better than anybody.
When there's no moral fiber behind anything, you know, like China right now, they have capitalism of a sort, but when it's not informed by any kind of ethos that looks at your fellow man as being people with value, it's a system that is doomed. I mean, it's going to fail.
You know, I mean, the fact is, to live in a world, in a universe, to interact with other people, to understand your place in history, you need meta narratives. You know, that's what the ancient myths were about. That's what. In a sense, you know, especially the opening chapters of the Bible is about. It's about setting a meta narrative. It's giving a proper perspective to who you are, who God is, who the world is, what's your place. And if you don't understand that, then you're really operating at a pretty animal level of survival. You're just basically out just to survive, and that's it. Or, you know, you can go with kind of the German route and the survival of the race. So yeah, I'll take one for the team, I suppose, but it's you know, in service of the race, kind of. But you know, morality is really hard to define internally. I mean, it can be done sort of de facto, just because of the works of the law written in our hearts.
Sure.
So it's not really like we're just kind of inventing it as we go along. It's hardwired into our spiritual DNA, whether you believe there is such a thing or not. But that alone is, it's, you know, that alone without some notion that there is a God, that there is an accountability, that there is, let alone mercy. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of God as merciful and gracious and forgiving and kind and patient and loving and self-sacrificing. That takes it to a whole totally different level.
Well, hey, we're at about the half an hour point. Why don't we take a break
all
here?
All right.
And we can come back and
your
talk
music
about
or mine?
I got a little something here for you.
All righty.
We'll be back.
Got a rusty married gentleman. dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from the dark power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God, our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How then in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, joy, tidings of comfort and joy.
Just isn't Christmas without Jethro Tull. He actually has a decent Christmas album for an agnostic. Kind of amazing sometimes, you know, the agnostics sort of get it. The hardcore religious atheists, they're another breed. But, you know, the agnostics who are kind of a live and let live and kind of, like, curiously studying things from the sidelines, sometimes they really get it. I'm not saying Ian Anderson gets it, but he's a great flute player. Let's talk holiday traditions.
You know, it's interesting. You had mentioned before, and I think that I did also, that the atheists, not just the atheists, I mean rather the Jews, act.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Where'd you go?
I'm here.
Ah. I thought maybe I turned you down by accident. I'm just letting this kind of roll in the background here. So
I was saying that we both have mentioned before that the Jews put out very good Christmas music.
They did. Irving Berlin. Didn't he write White Christmas?
He wrote White Christmas. And Mel Torme, who, if I'm not mistaken, was Jewish, also wrote the Christmas song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
That's right.
And, they're great at Christmas.
Bill Handel did a thing on that. He goes anything to make a buck. Hey, have you seen Adam Sandler's new version of the Hanukkah song?
No, there's a new one?
He's got a new one out.
Oh, my.
He has more of his Hall of Fame of Jews, including the subway guy, Jared.
Oh, no.
Yeah, everybody boos. It's live. It's really funny. It's good.
Jared, he's found himself in...
jail.
People probably.
They have great melodic line. Do you know that drugs and hard alcohol were banned at Tull concerts backstage? It's in the contract.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why they're all in pretty good shape today. Ian Anderson said the music was so complicated. He says you couldn't play this stuff if you weren't stone cold sober and practiced. So no.
Let's see. There's
beer was
Hanukkah
about,
song part four.
Yeah.
Let's consult the YouTube and see what we get here.
All right, everybody, come back in. Come on back in. Hurry up. Are you ready?
Is this?
Adam Sandler!
Yeah, that's it.
Put on the yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah.
full of lies. Instead of one day of presents, we get hey.
I love how everybody knows it.
When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's the fourth list of people who are Jewish. Just like Jesus, Olaf, Punky Brewster, Scott Rudin, and me. Joseph Gordon-Levitt enjoys eating Google. So does Stanley, Jake Gyllenhaal, and the two guys who founded Google. Adam Levine wears a Jewish star, so does Drake and Seth Rogen. Goldberg has a gold yarmulke to match the belt he won from Hulk Hogan. We got Scarlett Johansson, talk about a kosher crush. And if you need a higher voice to turn you on, how about Geddy Lee from Raw? We may not have a cartoon with a reindeer that can talk, but we also don't have polio, thanks to Dr. Jonas Salk. Smart Jew.
Smart Jew.
Put on the yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. Harry Potter and his magic wanaka. Celebrate Hanukkah. Jared from Subway. A Jew!
Didn't see that coming.
But guess who's Jewish and can fix him? Love Lines, Dr. Drew. Get on it, Doc!
All right, well, probably any more kinky language going on.
What are you worried about? We're off the air again.
Well, you know, I don't mind a good F-bomb or something like that every now and then, but don't use God's name in vain. That's not cool. That's all. Yeah.
I saw it coming. But there is no way to stop it. Oh, yeah. So you holiday traditions, Craig. Well, what are some of your fondest family, either growing up or when, stuff that you currently do? How do you and Paula celebrate the holy days and the holidays?
Church. More church.
You didn't grow up that way, though.
No. Actually, we hardly ever went to church on Christmas. It was always just the big family thing. And, of course, we'd gather around the living room and we'd Dad would read the Christmas story from Luke.
Okay.
And then my mom would insist that we sing carols, which no one liked to do except for her. And it was just kind of torture.
Yeah.
And then after
those family sing-alongs can be tedious.
Well, not just that, but no one was really playing an instrument. So it was always just kind of like...
Wait. You were in Modern Mission. I mean, why didn't you break out your guitar or whatever you play?
Because that would mean that I'd have to actually take time to learn some Christmas songs.
Oh. Okay.
And so good old mom found backing tracks. So we had sappy backing tracks.
And this was pre-karaoke.
Oh, yeah. And this was painful.
Christmas karaoke absolutely rocks. We do some. Yeah, we've introduced that now at our congregation's Christmas brunch. Is I downloaded a huge number of Christmas karaoke. The kids love it.
That could be fun.
And I do a pretty mean jazzed up Winter Wonderland, if I do say so myself.
Well,
if I practiced and
you ready to take this on the road?
Had a little eggnog or so, I'd be a pretty darn good karaoke singer.
So we had a little gathering the other night over at the old D'Onofrio household.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we had some people over. And
really, some folks?
Of course, I did the traditional D'Onofrio family thing, which is if you have 15 people coming over, you make enough food for 500.
That's Italian, yes.
So, yeah. And once again, the old family motto, if anything's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. And so,
you overdid it. Okay.
That's yeah, good. And Paula tried to warn me, but she's kind of come to the place now where she's just kind of reconciled to it.
Right. She smiles, just lets it happen, and cleans up the mess afterward.
Don't you think you spent like an extra $100 on food that you shouldn't have?
Yeah. Well, you can always freeze it or give it to the poor.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah. Sure. And so we have also, it was mostly hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that. So you go to Costco and you buy the big thing. And the big thing. You know, so we've got.
There's no small thing at Costco. Even small things come in big packages in Costco.
Hey, you know what? I have a turkey in the freezer, in the fridge.
Smoke that sucker.
I've got the smoker ready to go, but I need a good brine recipe. If someone could send me a really good...
No, you don't need... You don't listen to me. First of all, if you don't need to brine it if you're going to smoke it. You really don't. You got a wet smoker?
All the smoking guys are saying, look, you know, if you smoke it for 8-10 hours, it gets dry.
Do you have water in the smoker? Is it a wet smoker?
Yeah.
You will make jerky. Yeah, that's true if you don't have any water.
I soak the chips, but it's not really like...
No. That's different. I mean, when I smoke in my Weber, there's always a pan of water, some beverage, some liquid, something.
No, I don't have anything.
Because smoke does dry things out. But brining is not going to overcome that necessarily. Brining is a little different, but the purpose of brining brining will bring in liquid because it expands the proteins.
It changes some of the cellular kind of stuff in the turkey.
But you know, your money is with the brine itself. It's just the salt. Now, granted, once you do that, you can get some other flavors that come in. But most of the brines that I've seen, they just throw in an onion. Maybe a chunk of lemon.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's anything like, that would kind of brine / marinate it a little bit.
There's brinerating.
Kind of like throw a little clove in there or something. I don't know. Sure.
It all depends what you want to do with the rest of the turkey, too. I tend to like to keep things really simple. Lately, I've been doing lots of beer can chicken or beer can style chicken. I finally broke down and got myself a couple of these Steve Reichlin beer can chicken holders. It just holds the chicken upright with a reservoir. It's better than using a beer can. All I do is I season it with salt, pepper, and that's it. Just very basic seasoning. That way I can use the meat in a variety of things, and I season it later. So, like, I'll do two chickens at a pop and pull them so all the meat is off the bone and everything, and then use it for everything from soups to enchiladas to tacos to you name it, and bring the seasoning in later. But I'm looking for the smoke because that's where the money is. It's smoking.
Now, if you were to smoke a turkey, what kind of wood would you use?
You know, I think wood matters less than people think it does. Yeah. I'm thinking
either apple or cherry, but that's just me.
Yes, I agree. I tend to have a lot of cherry wood around from the wood shop, so that becomes kind of my... Apple's not a good wood to work, but apple and cherry are really good smoking woods for poultry and fish.
I've noticed that mesquite does add a little bitterness.
Mesquite can be like licking an ashtray if you overdo that, and that's really only good for the really strong cuts of beef. And maybe, you know, pork and shoulder and things like that. I wouldn't do the more delicate meats that way.
What about hickory?
Same.
Yeah.
Same. You know what? One of the coolest woods that I've just about run out. It sat in my garage for a long time. One of my sibs gave it to me and I didn't know what to do with it. But lately this year has been a good year on the grill for me. But it's Steve Reichlin's wine barrel staves. So they take wine barrels are white oak, and what they do is they cut it up into strips, and then they cross cut them into convenient lengths. They're about a foot long, and the inside of them are all red from aging wine. Mm-hmm. So you have white oak with an overtone of wine. And it really comes through. I mean, you can smell it when you throw. And I use two of them, one on each side, on an indirect barbecue setup. And you can smell this kind of smoky wininess coming. It's really good. And that's a great smoking wood for poultry. So just saying.
That sounds delicious, really.
I'm trying to convince my brother. We always go up for Thanksgiving every year. I'm trying to convince him next year to do turkey two ways. Because I'm really huge on do not try to do a whole turkey. Because you always overcook the white meat or undercook the red, the dark. So, you know, cut the thing apart and cook the thing right. And so I'm advocating for turkey two ways. So one way in the oven, some kind of glaze or something, and then the other half of the turkey in the smoker.
So wait, do you smoke the white meat or the dark meat?
Both. You can smoke both, but you it's better if you can rescue the white meat because it cooks faster and it'll dry out on you.
Oh yeah,
long before the dark meat's ready to come out of the oven or come out of come off the grill. So that's the problem. You really need to cut up these birds and cook things separately, or you can lay it out casserole style or something like that. But you need more control.
What about the Swirla house? You asked me about holiday traditions and stuff. What do you guys do?
Well. You know, a big thing at Christmas is our tree. We love our tree. I get a real tree every year, the kind with lots of branches, not the conical shaped sort of tree, but the one like the noble firs or something, I think they're called. But they have lots of interior branches and open spaces. And my wife is a master of Christmas tree lights. She did a part time job before we got married. She worked at one of these places that has like tons of Christmas trees set up and holiday decorations. And so her job was decorate the Christmas trees. And so she like the electrical meter just spins like crazy. She's like 1200 lights on this thing. You have to
LED.
You have to wear like sunglasses to walk by the tree. But she wraps them dutifully around each of the main branches. She winds them with lights, and so there's a real depth of light. So I just stay out of there. Last night I was grilling a pork tenderloin. She was decorating the tree. I was happy. But we have a very eclectic tree, lots of one-of-a-kind ornaments, ornaments people have made for us, have crafted for us. It is a truly strange tree when it's done, and it really invites close. You know, like I have like a blown glass bacon and eggs ornament. I've got tequila ornaments. I've got chili ristras, cats, a lot of cats. A friend of mine made little clay figurines of all of our cats, and so we've got a grouping of that. So a very, very, very cool tree. And that's
kind of risky having cats running around and stuff, though. Do your cats get up in the tree?
You know, they did when they were kittens. And so the key was you bring the tree in and you have this kind of 2-day break-in period. It's like, okay, boys, get it out of your system now. And, you know, cats are kind of, they're wired to what's different, what's new, what doesn't belong. So you bring a tree in, boom, they're in it. Once it's been standing there for 2 days not doing anything, it becomes invisible to them. So they forget it's there. And we discovered our Mario is part genetic Norwegian forest cat. So he just kind of curls up under the tree and sleeps. It's like he's at home. He's in Norway now. And just, you know, in the fjords and under the tree. And he's very, very happy. But
now, did you do the whole genetic testing thing on your cats?
No, we just kind of looked at pictures and we said, holy smokes, that looks like Mario. And we did a little looking, you know, at behaviors and sure enough. But that's a long story. So, but anyway, the tree's really important. Tree decorating is always accompanied by Bombay Sapphire gin and tonics, generously poured. That's an essential part of our Christmas. What else? We have a very deep, eclectic Christmas music selection. That's always on. A lot of Windham Hill, Winter Solstice, Celtic Christmas collections. Really good stuff. So, you know, put that on. Decorating kind of occurs evening by evening. Right now, it's total chaos. I've got these huge Tupperware Rubbermaid kind of boxes of Christmas. And so we set it up. My job is I always place the bare-ass Santa.
Bare-ass Santa.
Yeah, it's. I have a picture of it somewhere on Facebook. It's a little stocking sculpture. I don't know if you've ever seen these. There's some really clever people who can take your typical nylon stocking, and they knot it and bundle it up, and they make sculptures out of it. And so this is a little sitting figurine Santa Claus with a long pipe, and but he's suffering a really bad case of plumber's crack. And he's got these rosy cheeks. He's a rosy-cheeked Santa, and it's hilarious. You know, it's like you don't really realize what you're looking at until you kind of look at it. And everybody cracks up. So my job is to look. I place that strategically for guests to discover every year as the bare-ass Santa. It's very meaningful to us. Of course, you know, I mean, church is church because I'm a pastor. So you know, a lot of Christmas revolves around church and getting it decorated, going caroling. But it's good. I actually have come to really like Christmas. I don't feel overworked. I do much the same thing every year. Because it's a bilingual sermon, I preach the same thing.
You kind of get into the rhythm after a few years of it.
Well, you do. And you realize the story hasn't changed. The meaning of it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. And so I don't see a real point in, you know, this. This is not, I really take a page out of the Eastern Orthodox where, you know, the feast day, you look it up. There it is. This is what you sing. This is what you say. You know, this is not a piece of entertainment. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But we are hearing anew the same thing. Like your dad reading from Luke 2, you know,
yep.
That's the narrative of Christmas, and I don't care whether Linus is reading it and there's Charles Schulz Christmas special or your dad in the living room or, you know, however that goes. That's just part of the liturgy of Christmas as far as I'm concerned. So it's cool.
God willing, next year is going to be quite a bit different.
You're going to be you could be in the Czech Republic. You could be in
Prague. Prague is I just saw an article the other day. I put it on Facebook that Prague is the second best. I forget who they said was the best city for Christmas.
Prague looks like a gorgeous city.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful. Well,
now,
you guys
will you be able to take Rufus over there?
Yes, but I just discovered that Delta Airlines, as of March 1st, is no longer taking pets in cargo.
Right.
So we're going to actually have to find a service that will transport him for us.
Well, you could pay for a ticket and bring him on board, I suppose.
You just have to dress him up, you know, like an old lady or something.
Yeah.
Put a trench coat on him.
I've seen people take their dogs on flights. That's allowed.
Full size dogs, though? I mean, not
these were pretty lappish dogs. They weren't full size, but
Rufus is a 50 pounder.
Things have changed a great deal.
Yeah.
Since the days. Yeah, the cargo hold thing, I think they've had too many unfortunate incidences.
Yeah.
But he won't have to be quarantined?
No, actually, the Czech Republic's very dog-friendly, and if you have, you get what they call something like a dog passport or something like that.
A dog passport.
And what it is basically all of his records showing that he's had all of the full panel of shots and all the rest, and he'll probably need a couple of boosters between now and then.
Does he have to be TSA cleared, too?
Yes, they will do the rectal examination on him to make sure that there's no bomb up there or anything, which is fine. Because
and Rufus, too.
Rufus, too. But we take him to the vets, and they put the thermometer in his butt, and he's just okay with it. So I don't think he'll have a problem with that.
In fact, it is his favorite part of the exam.
It kind of is. You know, he just wags his tail. And
it's like, dude, don't look forward to that quite so much, okay?
Yeah. He's weird. You walk into the vet's office. You know, a lot of dogs and cats, it's like you get near the office, you know, near the door, and dogs start to freak out and cats start howling and everything
else. The cats just go catatonic. No pun
intended.
Rufus
is like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go. This is awesome. You know, he just loves walking in and everyone pets him and, okay, let's put him up on the table. And he sticks something in his butt and he's just happy and gets a shot. He doesn't care. And he's just happy that way. It's the same with the groomers. A lot of dogs will fight you. The groomers, he just walks in, hey, everybody, I'm here for my bath. And he doesn't like a bath, but he likes the groomers.
Well, yeah.
So.
And, of course, yeah. Rufus always has to pass a little gas just to...
He is a little gassy, honestly.
So...
is. What's, so next year,
what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like for you this year? Just kind of being a well, no, you said you're gonna do a little sub work for your pastor.
Maybe we'll see if he remembers.
He lets you. Yeah, if he remembers, that's right.
He's, you know, Sal, you know Sal, don't you?
I do. I do know Mark Sal.
Yeah, Mark's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah, he's always like, yeah, I need help. I need help. Okay, let's do it. Oh, yeah, well, and then there's like a bunch of other stuff happens and it never happens. So it's okay, whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm like that too. You know, as you said, if you don't write it down, it ain't going to be happening.
Right.
Because that thought will be displaced by the very next thought that I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how quickly I can forget something. I mean, it's just like walking from the sacristy to the back door of the church, boom.
Gone.
Forgotten. It's like gone. Groundhog Day. I'm just starting over. I have no idea.
I learned after, it took me about 5 years to figure it out. But if people are telling me something important right after church, I will not remember this after I get home. So please call me or email me or something.
Yeah, I always ask,
because I don't want to forget, but I need to write it down.
I always ask people, would you please just follow this up with an email so that we can confirm it or something? I also take around a small, it's like a quarter index card. It's just, it fits in a pocket. I used to use them for flashcards back at the SEM, and because I worked at a print shop, I could make bazillions of them. Okay, so I have a ton of them around still. They're about the size of a business card. Okay, mm-hmm. But they're blank and they're cardstock. But I always carry that in a pen, and that's where I make little notes. Call so and so or blah, 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 you know, and it's my it's my little personal device. And the trouble is, I forget it's in my pocket, and then it goes in the laundry, and what comes out is this little wad. It's amazing how this perfectly great piece of cardstock can end up in a little wad. Now, what's a true miracle is if you use the right ink. And you're very careful, kind of forensic, kind of CSI style. You can tweeze that wad apart and read it.
I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, the other thing that always goes through the laundry beautifully, money.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's got a lot of cotton in it, but
it is the fabric of our time. I mean, that stuff. When it takes the term laundering money to a whole new level.
It's crazy.
It is. But it comes out crisp and clean, and
like rejuvenate soggy old money.
Why don't they do this more often? Why don't like banks? Banks should have like a laundromat.
Instead of printing new money, just wash the old
it.
Stuff.
Wash your money. Everyone down. Just clean your money. So dirty. Money is, money is filth. When they call it filthy lucre, they aren't kidding, man.
No kidding.
I don't even want to think about it. So, but yeah, we have that. And, we kind of sandwich in family Christmas in between church stuff. So we don't do a lot of present exchanges anymore. I mean, we give gifts to nieces, nephews, siblings, and they send stuff, usually sometime in January. So there might be some our staff presents and things like that, all the obligatory stuff. That's under the tree, and so we'll open some stuff. But we've kind of long given up. There's no time to shop, and we're at the stage where there's nothing we want.
Right.
I mean, I can't think of anything that I really want anyway. And we have this other problem. Volume displacement is that at this point where we are in our little house, we have a very small house. If you bring 2 cubic feet of something new in, 2 cubic feet of something old needs to leave. I don't care what the value is. I don't care anything. Just volume. It's just strict volume displacement.
Well, there's that. The fact that we're moving and leaving the country.
What are you going to do with your stuff? Are you going into deep storage or selling it? Or?
Well, what we're going to do is, Guy Nevin, Tanya's husband.
Yes.
Tanya the tattoo
artist. I know his name. I don't know these people personally, but via Facebook I've gotten to know the names.
Guy's a contractor, okay. And he's going to come over and finish about a quarter of our basement.
No kidding.
And basically just frame it and wall it off. I mean, not really.
He does good work. I mean, did you see that house in Montana that
those gorgeous.
Guys did?
Just gorgeous. And he's doing a lot of work over at Mark Sell's house right now. But anyway, he's going to just close off. He was over the other night. He measured it as 17 by 25 or something like that.
That's good size space.
So that'll be our storage. So everything goes downstairs. I'm going to hire some movers with strong backs and just say, take it all down.
Yeah.
We're going to sell off a bunch of junk that we don't use. But
good opportunity to thin down.
Yeah. So and then we're going to put all that in storage, and God willing, we'll rent out the house, and should get just a little bit of positive cash flow. Just stay a little bit above break even.
So the plan is to just put your stuff in storage in the house itself. So that's good because you don't have to pay for storage.
Right, and then someone else will pay our mortgage for us for the next 5 to 10 years.
And then they'll steal all your stuff.
Well,
pretty much
not. Hopefully, you know, the locked door will be good enough.
Oh, yeah, that'll deter them.
If a family with kids, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over. Or they'll burn.
What's in there? I have to know what's in there. I've got to know what's in there.
When you get to that level where you're just like deep storing stuff, you may as well just kind of like write it off. It's kind of like when you move, you know, and you give all your stuff over to the movers and they cram it into this van and drive off.
Right.
I kind of say goodbye to the whole stuff. Say, you know, I'm never seeing that stuff again. And then if you do, it's like Christmas. It's great. I got all my stuff back. Or I got new stuff, but it's like an exact duplicate.
Well, the problem is just about a year and a half ago, we bought a whole new living room set and a whole new bedroom set. And it's
nice.
You
made the mistake of hunkering down.
Yeah, well, you know, we thought we'd be here for the duration. Who knew that the doors would be open?
Duration of what?
Till I croaked.
Oh, gosh. No, that ain't happening. Not in our line of work.
Yeah, you never know. No. So anyway, you know, you never know when the doors are going to be open and God's going to say, hey, why don't you try Europe for a while? And okay. So we're just kind of adventurous this way.
Well, it's cool, actually. You know, I think if you can, I've totally failed at this. You know, I've got this garage load of woodworking equipment and it's just out of control. But part of me thinks it'd be really nice to just kind of go through life unencumbered, you know.
Yeah.
One time I was renting one of these you know these, it's a hotel but it's like an office suite. So it's a suite. So you come in and there's a kitchenette and there's a nice living room and then there's a kind of a meeting area and then there's a bedroom that actually has a door. And so it's this little suite here. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this is all I need. You know, no lawn to mow, no trees to trim, nothing to paint. I was seriously thinking about just dumping everything and moving into one of those, Hampton Suites or something like that.
I tell you what's really nice is what we used to call Seizure World down there. Now it's Laguna Woods or something like that. But it's a 55 and over retirement, quote unquote, community. And it's very nice. And they have everything provided for. And because the turnover is so high, you know, because you get old people and just die.
Wait a minute. I'm 58. So let's.
I know. That's the thing is for someone your age or younger, you know, it's a good deal because it's cheap and it's very nice. And you have all these services. So as you get older, especially not having kids, you have a lot of services there also. They have their own fire department and ambulance company.
The ambulance company being key.
Yeah, and also if you get to a point, you can transition into, you know, the care facilities and all that. But, you know, for Southern California, you can actually buy in at like $150,000 little condo. And it's not bad. It's pretty nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're pretty much out of time.
When are you going to be heading out?
Well, I'm going to come out to California and do some support raising. We have to raise our support.
How much money do you have to raise?
You know, I don't even know the number yet.
They're not telling you.
I know it's six digits, but I don't know how deep into the six.
Wow.
But the end of the year is coming up. So any listeners want to help You can go to lcms.org/D'Onofrio.
Help Craig leave the country.
Kick me out of the country.
Help Craig live expatriate in Prague.
As I said, everyone wins. The more you give, the faster I'm out, and everyone wins.
We can't get rid of you quickly enough. You can leave Paula behind, but that'd be... No.
America wins. Everyone wins.
Don't forget to take your soundboard and your computer stuff so we can keep the God Whispers going. We're going to give it an international vibe. I wonder what connectivity is like in Prague. I bet you it's better than U.S.
It's actually supposed to be pretty decent.
All right. Well, we will put the circuitry to the test.
Yes, we will.
So anyway, this was kind of
a little Don Tiki.
This was a test of our new broadcasting system, and it seemed to work okay. And we'll see how this works out in the new chapter of the God Whispers.
Yes. And by the way, if you're not my friend on Facebook, be my friend.
Be his friend.
And Bill's friend.
He needs
a friend. And you can see the video I shot of the Christmas version of my tiki bar. It's pretty sweet.
Well, you have a blessed Christmas.
You too, Bill.
And also to Paula and to Rufus the dog.
We're going to go out with Jungle Holiday here.
Sweet.
Little Don Tiki. See ya. And he's swayed in a zombie conga line. Jungle, 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 it's a jungle jolly day. When you stumble in the jungle, you'll dance as a jungle dance play. Jingle, 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 birdie sing is so sweet. For today's a jungle jolly day.